Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 27, Understanding Material Nature, Verse 24. Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Dosha Cha Nityasha Neshvarasya Shubham Date Sve Mahimni Stitasya Cha Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Dosha Chanityasha Neshvarasya Shubham Date Swayma Himni Stitasya Cha Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Dosha Chanityasha Neshvarasya Shubham Date Swayma Himni Stitasya Cha Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Dosha Chanityasha Neshvarasya Shubham Date Swayma Himni Stitasya Cha
Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Dosha Chanityasah Neshvarasya Shubham Date Se Mahimni Stitasya Cha Bhukta Bhoga Parityakta Drishta Dosha Chanityasah
Bhukta enjoyed, Bhoga enjoyment, Parityakta given up, Drishta Dosha, Drishta discovered, Dosha faultiness, Cha and Nityasha, always, na, not, Ishvarasya, of the independent, Ashubham, ham, Date. She inflicts Swaymahimni in his own glory. Stitasya situated. Cha and translation. By discovering the faultiness of his desiring to lord it over material nature, and by therefore giving it up, the living entity becomes independent and stands in his own glory. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because the living entity is not actually the enjoyer of the material resources, his attempt to lord it over material nature is, at the ultimate issue, frustrated. As a result of frustration, he desires more power than the ordinary living entity. Wow. And thus wants to merge into the existence of the supreme enjoyer. In this way, he develops a plan for greater enjoyment. When one is actually situated in devotional service, that is his independent position. Less intelligent men cannot understand the position of the eternal servant of the Lord. Because the word servant is used, they become confused. They cannot understand that this servitude is not the servitude of this material world. To be the servant of the Lord is the greatest position. If one can understand this and can thus revive one's original nature of eternal servitorship of the Lord, one stands fully independent. A living entity's independence is lost by material contact. In the spiritual field, he has full independence, and therefore there's no question of becoming dependent upon the three modes of material nature. This position is attained by a devotee, and therefore he gives up the tendency for material enjoyment after seeing its faultiness. The difference between a devotee and an impersonalist is that an impersonalist tries to become one with the Supreme so that he can enjoy without impediment, whereas a devotee gives up the entire mentality of enjoying and engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is his constitutional glorified position. At that time, he is Ishvara, fully independent. The real Ishvara, or Ishvara Parama, the supreme Ishvara, or supreme independent, is Krishna. The living entity is Ishvara only when engaged in the service of the Lord. In other words, transcendental pleasure derived from loving service to the Lord is actual independence. Bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityasha neshvarasya shubham date swaymahimni stitasya cha. By discovering the faultiness of his desiring to lord it over material nature, and by therefore giving it up, the living entity becomes independent and stands in his own glory. Can you check the Lithuanian Facebook page? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyacharesh Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Vanchikalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha. Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Okay. Devotees, so Lord Kapila is continuing his amazing description of the situation in material life and in Krishna consciousness of the living entity within this material world. Here, a particular aspect of the situation is being described, and it's such an important aspect of the situation of the living entity in the material world, either in material consciousness or in Krishna consciousness, spiritual consciousness. So, as Prabhupada is explaining in the purport, and of course it's such a prominent point in Krishna consciousness, the conditioned souls, as they're making their efforts in material life to enjoy independently from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, well, that's the thing, isn't it? Independently. This is the subject, really, in this verse and purport. Independence. Different types, or two different types of independence, or maybe even three, you could say, two or three types, only one of which is real independence. And even that one, which is real independence, from the perspective of the materially conditioned living entity, it doesn't look like independence. It doesn't look like independence. It looks like quite the opposite. It looks like servitude, as Prabhupada says here. Servitude. But servitude in the worst sense of the term. The worst sense. Like, you know, it's one thing to work at a job and be paid, which is the case for so many people. It's another thing. So that's a form of servitude, that you're being paid. But it's another thing to work hard at some job or some work and not be paid. I mean, in material terms, I'm talking about slave labor, just enforced, oftentimes brutally enforced, aggressively enforced, unpaid labor, and even not just unpaid, but the living conditions which are provided and all of that are just the bare minimum or less. It's just a horrible situation. So it's one thing to work and be paid. This is a form of servitude, which is very common. We all know it's extremely common. But oftentimes not enjoyed. Really not enjoyed at all. But it's another thing to be in some form of slave labor. In the Western world, or parts of the Western world maybe, right now, for the last, not a long time, but for a little few years, there has been a whole movement that to discredit the former leaders of the different countries, and not just like the presidents, but the you know, the business people, the aristocracy, and the people who together were running the different countries, but to discredit those who supported slavery. And in some countries, particularly America, some of the statues of people who were otherwise in the history of the country, if you read the history books, they were like the fathers amongst the fathers of their countries, but they endorsed or actually utilized slave labor. So their statues, a number of them have been torn down. And I would imagine the history books are going to be rewritten. Yeah. Rewritten to give them at least less credit for whatever parts they played in the earlier development of their particular country. So, yeah, anyway, that's something. That's good. I mean, in the sense that it's better than supporting slave labor. It doesn't mean that their position is very good, but it's better than it was in very relative material terms. So, and in the course of all that, the idea of people being independent to make their own choices in life and do what they like and not just what they're told to do or particularly forced to do. On the material level, this sort of thing is being promoted. In the poor countries, let them become economically better situated so they're not just forced to work all day for practically nothing just to survive. Economic development in that sense. And in that way they become, they're not in that position of like real servitude, real dependence, but they are in material terms in some sort of somewhat independent state, at least to some degree, more than they were previously. So this is all appreciated by many people on the material level. But in terms of Krishna consciousness, of course, we understand that even that type of economic independence, becoming materially well situated, so you're not forced into what is really like servitude, but is a somewhat independent position. This is not independence in the real sense of the term. No. What is real independence is to be independent of the modes of material nature. Through being a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming independent of the control of material nature and other people who are under the control of material nature, becoming independent of them, by becoming dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, those people who we were mentioning at first, who are promoting this idea of becoming materially independent, economically independent, at least to whatever degree one may, the people who are appreciating this, that everyone should earn enough so they can have, everyone can have a house, everyone can have a car, and all these things, and education will be there for the children, they regard this as independence conditions of real servitude. So those people who are thinking like that, when they look at the devotees who are rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even working hard, Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness there's no place for lazies, or crazies actually, but lazies in this regard. The devotees work hard or should work hard. And I think in our temple here, particularly at the moment, the devotees are really working hard for Krishna. So those non-devotees who are ascribing, they're promoting this idea of becoming materially independent so you're not forced to work hard and, you know, you can live the life you want. When they look at the way of life of the devotees working hard for Krishna, then they think, as Prabhupada mentions here, that the devotees are also in servitude, in the negative sense of the term. Forced, or whether they're forced or not, probably many of them think the devotees are forced to work hard and not be paid. I don't know how many of you are getting paid. Since I joined the temple in January 1973, I don't think I've been paid anything ever. Of course, I haven't died of starvation, as you can see, and, you know, anyway, like that. But still, it's a fact that I actually haven't been paid in terms of, like, you do this work, you'll get this. That sort of work. So therefore, these people who are in the mood of material independence, economic, becoming nicely economically situated, so you're not forced by material circumstances to do undesirable things. They look at the devotees and think, this is also servitude. It's just another form of slavery. Because, I don't know, maybe some of you are getting an allowance, but I don't even get an allowance. Of course, you know, I got people taking care of me, so that's another thing. But in terms of like some, like, enforced or enforceable system of remuneration or receiving money, it's not happening. Yes, so they think it's servitude, and it's very bad, and even, you know, maybe not now, I don't know, but going back to Prabhupada's time, some people thought that devotees, people like us, who are doing exactly what we're doing, actually, that we were brainwashed. We'd become like zombies. Just, your wish is my command, sort of thing. But it's not. And this is what Prabhupada is focusing on here. That the devotees are actually independent. Through their dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees become independent first and foremost. And this, it really is just so important. Such an important point. The devotees become independent of the three modes of material nature. Even when the devotees have to work hard, they're busily engaged in devotional service. As long as they're following the process nicely, chanting nicely, and then they're in the right consciousness of service to the Lord, then even if they're working, serving in ways which appear what some would call passionately, busily working, moving around here and there, some would say this is the mode of passion, but it's not the mode of passion. It's transcendental. Because mode of passion, as we studied in Bhagavad Gita some few weeks ago, mode of passion, the foundation, the very basis of the mode of passion or activity in the mode of passion, which has to be there, otherwise you cannot really say it's the mode of passion, is the desire for personal sense gratification, personal enjoyment. Without that, it's not really the mode of passion. Of course, you know, devotees may become influenced by somewhat more subtle aspects of the mode of passion. But generally, even when they're busily engaged, that fundamental thing that I am doing this for my sense gratification, independent of the Lord, it's not there. Even if sometimes they get a little agitated, if things are not going their way, or someone creates some obstacle, or there's some criticism or something of that sort, then certain aspects of the influence of the lower modes may become aroused, but without that fundamental feature of the desire to enjoy myself independently from Krishna, if that's not there, then it's very marginal. It's very marginal. And it's not like real mode of passion. It's just some sort of slight, mildly mixed situation, usually. I mean, unless, of course, the devotee gets totally carried away by getting angry through being criticized or something like that. So this is what happens. Through the devotee becoming dependent on Krishna and rendering service to Krishna, the devotee achieves that first type of independence, which is so important, and without which, you know, one's situation of entanglement is just, it's just too much. One is caught in Maya. If one does not have that independence through being in the mood of service to the Lord and depending on the Lord. People in material life, they depend on the modes. We will work hard for our enjoyment. This translates into, we will get into the mode of passion. But we will become dependent on the mode of passion. We will be completely under the shelter of the mode of passion. Because as far as we know, this is the way things work, this is what we should do. So there's a big difference between working hard in material life on the basis with that foundation of the desire to enjoy independently and working hard for Krishna with the foundation of trying to please him and free from that idea of I'm doing this for my personal sense gratification. So those two types of shelters give very different results. The result of taking shelter of Krishna, becoming dependent on Krishna, and engaging enthusiastically in devotional service, if it's done nicely in nice consciousness, with good sadhana, etc., the result is inspiration, advancement, ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, actually. And the result from taking shelter of the mode of passion and becoming dependent on the mode of passion and working enthusiastically, working hard for one's personal sense gratification, the result of that is, as Prabhupada says here, the very first thing he says, because the living entity is not actually the enjoyer of the material resources, his attempt to lord it over material nature is, at the ultimate issue, frustrated. This is the result of working enthusiastically under the shelter of the mode of passion, frustration. Sooner or later, in the meantime, some success may be there to some degree, some sense gratification may be there. It's temporary. It's temporary. And sooner or later, the actual result given by the mode of passion is frustration, anger, defeat, distress, and like this. So what sort of independence is that? And then, as Prabhupada says, as a result of this frustration, then they may want to, Prabhupada says, they may desire more power than the ordinary living entity. Means merge, impersonalism. I failed to enjoy in regular sense gratification. So what will I do? I'll become God. And when you're God, then you're really big time. And then I should really enjoy. Sorry, it also doesn't work. Yeah. So he develops a plan for greater enjoyment. This is why we said there are arguably three categories of independent living entities discussed here. One is the independent trying to enjoy material life. Another is the independent trying to become God. And then there's the devotee who becomes independent through dependence on Krishna. Yes, so when we give up the entire mentality of trying to enjoy and we engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, that's our constitutional position. That's where we fit in. That is natural. And in this way, we become independent of the modes of material nature, all of them, and of all the different effects, results of being under the different modes in different ways, under different circumstances. And then we become happy. That's our natural position. And after becoming happy, we become very happy. And after becoming very happy, we become extremely happy. And then we become unlimitedly happy. But it's all on that basis. It really is. Although the poor materialists, it's so sad, they just can't see it. There is a block over their vision. And the block is, the root cause of the block is, I will enjoy. independently. Yeah. That's, and then in so many ways to try and do that, but that is point number one. And while that point number one is still there, everything else fails. So as devotees, the first thing we try to do is address that point number one. That who am I? I am not the enjoyer, I'm the servant. Like this. And then everything develops from there in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we have to work at it and keep working at it because we're habituated to that, accepting that block. We're habituated to that. So we have to keep working at it. But Krishna's kind, and if we really try our best, progress will be there. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.